Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome everyone to Rock That Relationship. We are here today in our whole series all about soulmates, but we're here with Charity and Holly, two of our fan favorites, back again to talk about their relationship. They were on a previous season talking about relationships across differences. So we'll put a link in the show notes to their previous episode that they had, but they're here today to talk with us about soulmate love, hashtag when you know, you know. So Charity, Holly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, awesome. Well, last time we had you on was a while ago, and you had just started dating. It was actually funny. We were talking about this before as we had you on to talk about dating across differences. I think it was about long distance and how you were managing that. And we found out towards the end of either the end of the recording or after the show that you had been together a very, very, very short time, but you couldn't tell. I thought you had been together for years because of the way you two interacted. And so we got off the episode and thought, wow, they really know. They really know that they are supposed to be together. And it was so cool. And here we are seasons later with you back on kind of when the, you know, with the when you know, you know. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your love story. Like, how did you meet and where are you today? Like, take us through your journey.
We met online. So we met through Facebook dating. And neither one of us had really done a whole lot of, you know, like, app dating. For me, like, I hadn't really done any, like, I think I met one person for a drink once that I met through like an app, and that was it. So that's how we met, was through Facebook, was through that. So
and you guys were living in different states.
Yeah,
it was like a 6-hour drive apart, is that right?
Yeah, I was here and still am here in Nashville, Tennessee. Holly was right outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
So we were.
Oh, yeah, you're Georgia distance. Peach.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. We were long distance dating, which was completely new to me. There's an age gap between us. I'm 15 years older than Holly. And Holly is a Gold Star lesbian, and I'm a late in life lesbian. So oh, our wow. journeys. Yeah. Are very
a lot.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. You could have been on every episode of our dating across differences.
Yeah, we were like the trifecta couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you met, where was your first date? Tell us about where your first date was. Who initiated it? Give us the details here. We want the good stuff.
I mean, technically our first date was here at her house. I got in super late. And we were going to Pride that weekend. So I came in late Friday night. Well, almost Saturday morning. It was like 1 a.m.
It was 1 a.m.
Because I came after work.
And you hadn't met in person?
No, we had never met in person.
No.
We had been talking for about a month.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, had you FaceTimed and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. She definitely wanted to do that. I guess she was catfished in one of that coffee date that she had.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I really would like to FaceTime with you so I can actually see what you look like.
Yeah.
So what were your first impressions of each other when you met?
Like when we first met in person or when we like first FaceTimed?
Ooh, how about either or both?
When we first FaceTimed, I mean, my first thought was she looks just like her pictures and she has all her teeth. So we're off to a good start.
I used to say that the teeth, having the teeth was like being a real person and having your teeth important.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what happened on that first coffee date. She used old pictures, and when she showed up, she didn't look anything like her. Mm. She didn't look like that anymore. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this is, yeah, I feel very catfished. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I was happy that she looked like her pictures.
That's good. Okay. Okay. What about you?
When we first FaceTimed, I mean, she looked exactly like her pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was beautiful. And we had
Oh.
great conversation, text message, FaceTime. I mean, it was everything that I was expecting, for sure.
Yeah.
It
Was
was,
it
I think
different when you
it's.
met in person, or was it just more of the same? You're like, oh, I can't wait to see you.
I was so excited for her to get here. And it just felt like it was taking forever. That drive just felt like it was forever. Like I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for her to show up. And when she finally got here, like I met her out in the cul-de-sac. I didn't even wait for her to like get to the door. And it was like it was like I already knew her, you know? And I was just, I guess my only thought I really like was like she told me she was 5'2", and I was like, oh, she really is 5'2". Who would lie about that? I was like,
Hey, for all short people here, okay, that's a selling point, all right? Some
right? I
people
was
like
like,
shorties.
she really is a shorty, you
So
know?
wait, how tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
Okay,
Oh, so
ooh,
you're
okay.
not exactly super tall. Okay,
No.
that's
But it is dating
okay.
across difference. We could have done one on height too, huh?
Well, that's
Right.
not a difference. Five eight,
I'm
five eight,
joking.
and 5'2",
Right.
maybe.
Right. It's not a huge difference, but I mean, I guess when I first saw her, I don't know. I just wanted to wrap her in my arms and just hug her and kiss her. And it felt like I already knew her. Like she already felt familiar. You know, just when she was walking across the cul-de-sac, I was like, she just felt, it was like my soul recognized hers from the
Well,
jump.
and I want to say I think only lesbians can pull off like a 1 a.m. meet up for the first time at your house. At your house. Hi. It's 1 a.m. Come on in. I don't recommend it for straight people,
No.
just because the male could be quite dangerous, but lesbians, less risk.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, the whole way here, I was nervous. Like, I wouldn't even say I had butterflies. They're more like bald eagles.
Just freaking out. And you're
Yeah,
driving so
absolutely.
far, right?
Yeah,
Like,
and I was,
hey.
we had never met, but then it was all of that went away the moment I saw her. And then
Did
we
you
talked.
ever have a conversation like about what you would do if it wasn't there? If it just didn't, if you guys didn't click, did you talk about that?
No, it never even crossed my mind that we wouldn't click. Like, I knew. I just knew. Like, the conversations that we had just flowed so naturally. And it just never crossed my mind that we might not click. Like, that wasn't an option. Like, I just knew it was gonna be okay. Like, as crazy as it might sound, by the end of that weekend, I told my best friend, I said, you're going to think I'm nuts. Because my best friend was texting me throughout the weekend because she doesn't live here. She lives in Charlotte. And she was like, you know, how's it going? How's it going? You know, like, you know, asking me all these questions. And by the end of the weekend, I was like, I am head over heels. Like, I am in love with this woman and I'm going to marry her one day.
Wow.
And did the friend think you were crazy? Or was she like, okay, I get
A little bit of I get it because she too had found her soulmate recently, but she was also like, it's really early,
it.
you know? And she was like, yo, I just want, you know, I want you to be happy. Like you seem like from the jump, from the time Holly entered into my life, people started to notice a difference about me. And people were saying, you seem so different. Like, you are happy. Like, your energy has changed. And even from a distance, she noticed that in our conversations. So, she, you know, even though it was early, she was like, look, I like the energy you're putting out from this. So, like, I'm on board. Like, I want you to be happy. And I love that you're happy.
And sorry, how many months or how what was the time from the time you guys met online to meeting in person?
We started talking June 4th, and then she came June
22nd.
22nd. No, the 20.
21st, because I got in early morning, so 21st, June
Yeah, she
21st.
came the 21st. Yeah.
And then she moved when? Like,
She moved here in November.
November
oh,
15th.
okay.
So 5 months, yeah. I know it
Okay.
was torture for you guys because I was watching you on Facebook.
I know.
Oh my God, I can't take this drive anymore. Why do I have to drive so far to see her?
I
I can't
remember
wait till this is over. I gotta
that.
quit my job tonight and go.
Yes.
Yes.
That was us. 100%. We were so cliche lesbian couple.
Yeah, well, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And then the
So
weekends that I couldn't make it up here were,
torture.
it
Yeah,
was awful.
those were
Yeah.
hard.
Oh gosh,
Those were
yeah.
hard. So,
Yeah. Well, how
but
do
yeah,
you
we.
know that this was different than like past relationships you've been in? I mean, obviously different than the coffee date that you were catfished, but like, especially Holly, you've been in, you said you were a gold star, right? Gold star lesbian. So like, how is this different?
It feels different. Like the conversation, I feel like I've known her my whole life, even a week into talking. I mean, in previous relationships, I was nervous about talking about certain things or nervous about doing certain things. But with her, I say whatever I want, whenever I want, and there's no nervous feeling when it comes to her.
Yeah. How about you, Charity? How is this different than past relationships? You said you're late in life lesbian. Had you had relationships with women before?
I had, but Holly is only like my third real, like serious same-sex relationship. I had had like a couple casual things, but like as for like actual relationships, Holly was only my third one. For me, I'm gonna probably say something that some people may contradict. And I'm going to preface this by saying I've been in therapy since 2021. So I have been working on a lot of, I've been working on myself and past trauma. What got me into therapy to begin with was that first same-sex relationship was it was very abusive and it was very toxic. So, I know a lot of people say that they feel like their soulmate felt like home to them. And for me, it was the exact opposite. And I didn't realize that until I, have done a lot of work in therapy. But Holly didn't feel like home to me because home for me wasn't a safe place. Home was toxic because of how I was raised, how I was brought up. So home wasn't a safe place where I could be myself. Where I could be authentically me. Holly felt like freedom. Holly felt like authenticity. She felt familiar. It felt like I recognized her from the beginning. It was like I could be me. I didn't have, for the first time, because I had done so much therapy. For the first time, I entered into a healthy relationship, but I entered into this relationship going, I'm going to be me. And she's either going to ex like who I am as me. I'm not going to change who I am anymore to be accepted. And I was able to really be me and feel safe being me. I didn't have to dumb myself down, I didn't have to weaken myself. I didn't have to pretend. I could just be me. And it was so easy. Like she wasn't bothered by the fact that I'm a business owner and I'm a boss. I'm a boss babe. I can come across very bossy at times because I am a boss. I'm an owner. I'm also a mother of two adult daughters. She has never been jealous of my relationship with my daughters. She has never made me feel like I have to choose between her and them. Like she accepted the fact that I am a mom and that I have a tight relationship with my daughters. So I didn't have to compromise anything. I could just be. And she accepted all of that. It was just this safety of being able to be authentic for the first time in my life.
Well, Holly, what did it feel like for you?
I mean, it was similar. I mean, I didn't grow up in the best of homes, so like she said, it didn't feel like home. It was much safer. I could definitely be myself. I'm still myself. I don't know. It's
But let me ask you a question. Like when people talk about when they say it feels like home, it didn't feel like your traditional homes or the homes that you're raised in. But like if you were to say like this is the home I want to create, this is the place I want to be, that's what this relationship feels like for both of you.
right. We have created a home that is safe for us now, you know, like that we're safe in, that we are comfortable in, but not like a childhood home, not like that parental, you know, home. And I think a lot of times, you know, many of us, a lot of us are looking for, you know, that home base, like childhood thing, you know. I know that I did that before. I knew that I had done that. You know, I worked through that in therapy. And with Holly, it was like I was breaking that. And so she didn't feel like that home, but we have created together, we have created a family and a home that is safe and accepting and comfortable.
Well, you all right. Well, I'd say that feels like home.
But
Right?
it's an interesting distinction. I think it's important, right? Like this idea of what is it that you want to feel, and you do feel it with each other, and that's the sacredness of what you have. And I know
And you
before.
can only get to that through therapy, like really to understand that why did you have tumultuous relationships in the past? Because you were probably replicating what you grew up with versus what do you really ideally want out of your life, you know?
100%. I mean, in therapy, I literally realized that the first same-sex relationship that I had, that first girlfriend was, and I said this to my therapist, she is the perfect combination of my mom and dad. She is like the perfect storm between them. And that is what I did. I went and I was in this relationship with this person who created the same storm that I grew up in, you know, and that was like that was my home. That was like my home base for a while. That's what I knew because that was like the relationship I had with my parents. And then I sought out, or I don't know that I sought her out, but I was in this relationship with this woman who was just like them. It felt like home. Right. And it did. She did. She felt like home. Like if you'd asked me when I was dating her, I would have said she feels like home to me. Because that chaos that she created was so familiar because that was the chaos I grew up in. That was my childhood chaos, my childhood home. But with Holly, she didn't feel like home because there was none of that chaos. That childhood chaos home wasn't there. She felt like safety. She felt
It's
like authenticity. I didn't have to pretend.
interesting because I had one of those situations that only lasted like 4 months, thankfully. And it was one where Corey could say, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I just have to, I don't know, but I have to see this through." And it was like a perfect mix of my parents mixed together. And it was what freed me to actually be able to deal, like, to like. What I ended up learning was I was offering all these things to someone else that I needed for myself, that I needed to give myself and I needed to hear. And it wasn't until I worked through that truly, like, I'm at the happiest point of my life now. And like completely, like, I'm married. I'm so happy. I have found my person and I've created the life in my home that I love, that I did not ever have, but that somebody else showed me, like, okay, you're trying to this is what you need, but you're like offering it to somebody else who doesn't want it and keeps, you know, hype, not literally, but figuratively kicking in your teeth. Like every time you let this person in, they're like trashing. But it, like, I think a lot of people have to go through that, right? To get to, you know, what you have created is your like soul home now. It's come where both of you want to be.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we both went through, you know, relationships that were toxic and abusive. And we both acknowledged that, you know, as hard as those relationships were, we had to go through them to get to where we are because we learned so much, you know, during, but, you know, also after, because, you know, the healing process after is where, you know, you really begin to learn, especially I'm a huge advocate for therapy. So I think mm-hmm. you know, if you get into therapy and you really dig into like, why did I enter into that? Why did I stay in it? You know, how do I make sure I don't do that again? Because mm-hmm. unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, I did get into therapy right after that relationship, but I didn't stick with it. And I ended up repeating that process, mm-hmm. you know, yep. with the second girlfriend. You know, and then I was like, I can't keep doing this. So I'm going to get into therapy and I'm going to stay in it no matter what yeah. anybody tells me. I'm staying in this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's been almost 3 years that I've been with my therapist now. And I mean, we've really uncovered a lot of things. And by the time, you know, I had met Holly, you know, I had done so much healing. That, you know, I could see where I was, you know, had habits and was repeating processes. And it was like, okay, we need to break that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's something interesting that you said was that, like earlier in the conversation, you were talking about how Holly felt familiar, like on a deeper soul level, but didn't almost feel familiar from the home that you had come to. And you had been drawn to these other people who felt sort of familiar in an earthbound sense. Like, this feels familiar because it looks like my home here. But Holly was familiar to on like a totally different level. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like? Like, well, how is Holly's familiarity different, like on a soul level?
Well, this is where people might think I'm a little quirky, and I'm okay with that. There's nobody who can convince me that Holly and I have not had a connection in past life.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% believe that Holly and I have had a relationship in a past life. She, mm-hmm. her energy from the jump just felt so familiar. It was like, I knew her. I knew her energy, not the body, but mm-hmm. her energy. I knew her energy. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that in the next life, I will find her again. Mm-hmm. We will find mm-hmm. each other again in the next life. I believe that our energy is just intertwined and connected permanently. And I just feel it. Like, I feel it in my essence, not just my soul, but like in my essence, in my being, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't think it's kooky at all.
We totally
do. Does Holly think it's kooky yeah. or Holly, do you feel the same way?
No, I absolutely feel the same way. Absolutely. It's just, it's something, it's different. It, like, I don't know. I can just feel it with past relationships. You thought, okay, yes, I love this person. But with her, it's almost like I could feel it from my toes to my head. It's a completely different feeling. And sometimes it's really hard to describe. Like, I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it too. You just can't explain well, it, right?
And, you know, podcast over. We get it.
Right.
Have you guys consulted any past life people or Akashic readers, astrologers, tarot card readers, psychics? Have you? Because that would be very like, even though you know, it's so interesting to do, right? Have you done any of that?
I had consulted one prior to meeting Holly.
Mm-hmm.
And that person told me that I was going to meet my soulmate in 2024. And at that time, it was 2022, and I was like, I think you're full of crap, and that's a really long time to wait, and it seems really hard. And I was a little skeptical. And to be honest, I kind of forgot about it until I met Holly in 2024, and I was reminded of it. And I was
Wow.
like, holy crap, she was right. Oh my God. So, but I haven't reached out or anything, since Holly and I met, because I don't need confirmation from her at this point. Like, I don't need confirmation from anyone. That confirmation is within me. It's different. Yes, I'm a late life lesbian. And I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast before, but I was married to a man for 20 years before.
I'm sorry.
Right? Thank you. Thank you for your condolences. So in that 20 years, I can tell you there was never a part of me during that 20-year marriage that was like, I'm going to be with this person for the rest of my life. I always knew that that was not going to be my end-all relationship. I mean, I couldn't tell you, I didn't know when, how, like, but I knew at some point in time that there was going to be another relationship for me. I just knew that one wasn't the end. I don't want it to sound like I didn't put energy into that marriage. I did, but I think the energy that I put into it, was really centered around my two daughters. Whereas with Holly, the energy that is I put into that, into our marriage is, it is because I know she is my soulmate. There is nothing that we cannot work through, talk through, therapy through. Like, there is not one thing that could happen that we cannot conquer. And I know that. I know that she will be with me until the very end. And I know that in the next life, we will find each other and we will love each other all over again. My only wish is that when we find each other in the next life, I would like for the age gap to be a little shorter.
Is it because of the time? Okay, listen, I married a 40-year-old and I'm 55, and we always say, oh, we wish you met sooner, but it's like, oh, okay, well, we could have met that much sooner because that would have been too weird. But I actually don't want to come back. Like, I don't want to come back here and do this again. I want us to be on a cloud. And, Corey and I have talked about we have a soul, we've had a contract to come here and learn all these lessons, and I'm done. And I keep telling the universe every day, like, I'm not coming back here. So Corey can come visit while she goes back and forth between lives, but I can't take it. Like, I just want to sit in a cloud and be done with my wife forever. But it is so interesting because, yes, you have other relationships and you love that person or care about that person, but it is true. It sounds cliche. Like, when you meet that person, you absolutely know. Like, and mine came with three kids and a dog and, another animal, and they all moved into my tiny house. And like, never once have I questioned that. And I've been in other situations where I'm just like, ick, like, oh, okay, I can make this work, but God, could this person, like, I just, you know what I mean? It's just a totally different feeling. And it's interesting because I do wonder, like what you said, I just said it the other day, no matter what, we'll get through it. It doesn't matter. Like, it, and I wonder if having that person with you makes that easier, or is it the maturity? Is it because I'm 55? Is it because I have done so much therapy and I am a different person than I used to be that makes the relationship stuff easier? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a combo of all of it, but, wanting to work through that stuff. I mean, I think for me also, like, when things, like, I know that both my wife and I, like, will are, and I don't know if you guys have watched that show, Couples Therapy with Dr. Orna Goralnik, probably like the greatest lady on earth. but she talks about two people's traumas. Basically, it's not the two people having the issue, it's the traumas. And if you can understand that and put those aside and say, okay, those are the traumas interacting with each other, not us, it makes it so much like easier to work through things much quicker and like with no residual drama.
That makes a lot of sense. It really does. Holly and I are actually in couples therapy, and we started couples therapy back in June, right before we got married the first time, because we've got married twice in 1 year.
Times.
Can you say why? Why is that?
Yeah, tell us.
We got married on our 1 year anniversary because Holly was changing jobs. We already had the November 1st wedding planned and pretty much almost paid for. So we already had that planned and in the works. And then she switched jobs and we weren't sure how things were, the state of
the world, the country,
the world. Yeah. And we're in Tennessee, which they are trying to pass a lot of anti-LGBTQ bills here in the state of Tennessee. We weren't sure if I was going to be able to remain on her health insurance if we weren't married. And so we said, let's just go ahead and get married. I mean, we're going to get married anyway, so let's just get married. And, you know, we'll kind of keep it quiet and we won't tell anybody and we'll still have the big wedding in November. Yeah. So that's why we had two.
And so then you got into therapy before you got married to help with like all the transition stuff.
Yeah.
And the coming together.
Well,
see, it's proactive therapy. See, smart, smart. I just want to applaud you for that.
Our therapist, we love our therapist, but they actually said, you are like one of the only couples who like enter into therapy before you have a problem. Like you're preventative. Mm-hmm. You don't, you want to learn to communicate better and work alongside your traumas together. So that you can prevent issues. And most people wait until there's a problem before they enter in therapy. And we didn't. We were like, no, we want to prevent from being a problem. So we acknowledge that we both have trauma from childhood past relationships. And we both respond differently to that trauma. You know, I'm an anxious, Holly is an avoidant. So, you know, we were like, okay, let's learn to communicate a little bit better. Let's learn, you know, so when issues arise, we know we have skills, we have communication skills set in place. And yeah, it has worked out great because we both have learned things that we can put into place when, you know, issues have come up. So
smart.
That's what Tracy always says. She says that like the first date should be like, or maybe the second date should be with a therapist.
With a therapist.
Like, you're like, oh, nice to meet you. Let's have dinner. Oh, sorry. There's this third person here that just want to make sure that we're going to be able to get along here.
But that's the thing. Like I told you, I've been listening to this podcast about AI dating, right? So now the AI avatars are going on dates first so that the humans don't even have to waste their time if it's not going to be a good thing, which is interesting. But I think that people do need therapy. I've said this for years on practically every podcast, like start out with a therapy because, you know, unless you're like, I mean, I don't even know who doesn't have like triggers, traumas, all that. And so it just makes it, I think, easier. And you know that this is the relationship that you want. And so there's nothing that you want to jeopardize it, you know, and that can even be unintentional jeopardizing. And I do think like when I watched couples therapy, which I started watching shortly after we got married, and it was so helpful. I think she had asked me to watch it when we first got together and I was like, nah, too depressing. And then we started watching it like a couple months later and I was like, oh my God, this is so helpful. It was equally like triggering also because a lot of things came up in those shows, but that therapist is such like a genius and like the sweetest person alive. And so like to understand that most people, not all people, of course, and there's a lot of unprocessed people who haven't done any therapy, like they're trying, right? But we're so unskilled without therapy. And I know, you know, I was married to a therapist who said I vomited my trauma all over everybody. And I was like, how dare you? And then I started getting, you know, I was in therapy for 5 years and I was like, oh yeah, I sure did, you know? And so it really like, it makes it a lot nicer. It really is. It's interesting because like, once you start to do therapy, it does set you apart from a lot of people. It really does, because you're like, mm-mm. If you're not doing the work, it doesn't work. Three people I dated in a row after I got divorced and before I got married, it was like, none of them would do the work. And it was so obvious and it was so ick. So I really applaud you. I think that's very commendable. And, you know, I'm sure people, if you to tell them that, they'd have snarky things to say, and who cares? I don't care what anybody has to say about anything I do. And it's like, this works for us, and it's helping us to have, you know, it's helping you guys to have to take out those extra stressors. I mean, Holly moved. She moved in with someone who, you know, wasn't always in a same-sex relationship, who had kids, who, you know, all these things that cause so many problems. I mean, even though your kids are older, your daughters are older, like 75% of second marriages with children fail because it's just such a huge stressor. And I knew that, you know, this is my second time being a step-parent, and, you know, just so different. And the, you know, the people themselves that I've married could not be more different than each other, but also I am different and more, way more understanding of how things need to be. So kudos to you guys.
Thanks.
I'm very proud of you guys.
Well, and it makes me think of a question for you about this is like, there's this sort of idea or misnomer out there that if you have this like soulmate connection, that you don't need to work on your relationship because you're destined to be together. So it doesn't matter, right? But the fact is that's not really all that true. Like you have to still put in the effort to your relationship. So how do you sit and reconcile that? This idea that you're like drawn and meant to be together, but you're also focused on like the earthbound here and now, like these are our traumas and things we show up with.
I think, yeah. Are we destined to be together? 100%. Yes. I think, you know, we are soulmates, and I think, you know, no matter what, somehow we were going to be drawn together, you know? So yes. But does that mean we didn't enter into this with trauma, with triggers? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And while, yes, I think we would work through any and all of it, no matter what. If we're in therapy, if there's a way that you can work through it and make the process easier, mm-hmm. why would you not do that? I mean, you mm-hmm. can either do something the hard way or you can do it the easy way.
Right, right.
You can work harder or you can work smarter. And by going into therapy, we chose to do it, learn to skills so it could be easier. We chose mm-hmm. to work smarter. You know, like, yes, we're destined to be together, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to have hiccups along the way. So let's learn some coping skills and let's learn some communication skills to help us with this process. I mean, to make it better, to make it funner, mm-hmm. to make it more enjoyable, to make it the best that it absolutely 100% can be.
I mean, just because we're soulmates doesn't mean that we don't have our own issues. That do pop up, and she could be having an off day. And if I don't learn to read what is going on in that moment, I could trigger her somehow, not meaning to. Mm-hmm. But with therapy, our therapist has given us homework numerous times. And it has helped. Yes, now I can recognize when she's upset, when she's angry, which I could before, but now it's not, it's a deeper level now. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to see anything. I can just feel it. Mm-hmm. Same for me. She can feel it.
Right. And, you know, because of therapy and the things that we have discussed in therapy, our traumas and our triggers, you know, I have learned, like, when Holly is triggered, you know, I now have like skills. I've learned skills in therapy that can help me help her. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love this woman. I love her so deeply. Why would I not want to learn more skills and learn to be a better partner so that I can help her in the way that she really needs me to show up for her? You know, and if that requires therapy, you know, if that requires a teacher to help me learn, why would I not want to do that for my soulmate? Why would I not want to learn to show up in the best way possible for my soulmate?
I love that.
Excellent.
I love that. So at the what do you think it is that keeps you two together? Is it love? Is it the spiritual kind of deeper connection? Is it just a deep respect for each other? What really stands out?
Oh, that's hard
All
because
right.
I think it's all those things. I think it's a
Right.
combination of all of them. I don't think it's any one thing.
No, it's not any one thing. It's like a chain. Like it's all connected. There's no one thing.
Yeah.
They want to be together.
Right. It's
Definitely.
very
Very intentional,
like on a
right?
deep level, like on a knowing level.
Right. Like I want to show up for her in the best possible way. You know, I want to put in the work, whether that's, you know, on my with, you know, within myself individually or within the marriage, within the relationship, within the family that we have created. You know, it's all of that. You know, it's wanting to be the best version of all of those things so that, you know, we can move forward easier because there's nothing else. Like, this is it. Like, she is my person. There's nothing that is going to come between us. There's nothing that is greater that could separate us other than death, because she is that person for me.
Well, and a lot of times, and in the kind of the talk about soulmates too, is that two people are drawn to each other because they help raise each other up to be their best selves, and that whatever trauma Holly's working through, Charity, you can help with, and whatever trauma Charity you're working through, Holly can help with. And the idea is that you together, particularly intentionally with the therapist, is making each other rise to the occasion and being the best people that you can be. And with the support and love, you get to do that. And that's part of like a soulmate draw, right? As you can see, am I a better version of myself with this person? Does this person contribute to that? You don't have to have another person to do that, but is this person contributing? And that's part of like that soulmate draw. And it sounds like that's something with both of you, that you are sort of like you're continuing to grow and learn and be better versions of yourself every day in the company of each other.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I continue to grow every day, but I've noticed that I'm more patient now. Well, you said you're more patient too. Like there's just so many things. Like I always want to be a better me. Like before with other relationships, it was I have to be a better me. I have to do this. I have to do that. But with her, it's I want to. I want to be the best version of myself for her. I mean, for myself as well, but definitely for her.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, what's next for you two? I mean, you got married twice. Are you going to get married a third time? Are you going to go, what, anything exciting on your horizon? You live together, like.
We're buying a house next year. That's like our goal is to buy a house next year. We do it now, but we're locked into a lease until next year. So the goal is to to do all the things that we need to do so that next year we can buy a house and
Take a honeymoon.
take a honeymoon. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Where do you want to go for your honeymoon?
We throw out so many ideas. Costa Rica. Yeah.
Ooh, I love it there. That's so
Yeah. I want to
nice.
go so bad.
Yeah, we've talked about Costa Rica. We've talked about doing a cruise.
No, I just watched Poop Cruise and the Hell of a Cruise. No, but Costa Rica, I've been to three times. I love it. And there's all kinds of things to do. So please feel free to reach out. Both Corey and I have been there separately, and have different experiences, but I love it. You know,
Oh, it's
25%
wonderful.
of the land is reserved for national forests. So you can have adventure. You can have just chilling. You can have Caribbean. You could have, you know, more Latin American style. So
Yeah, I did
it gives
three
you all those
parks.
things.
I did three national parks when I was there. So I did one where it was Chirripó Peak and it was super dry and deserty. We climbed to the top of a peak. I mean, it was like 13 miles and then, or maybe 17 miles. And then I went to like a rainforest and then I went to a volcano and then I was to a beach and oh, I could
And the
talk.
Caribbean side of the beaches are, you know, more chill, like not rough water. The Pacific side, it's rough. So you can't just like, oh, let's go lounge in the water. It's like being thrown into a washing machine.
Oh, that's
So
good to
it's like,
know because
yeah, it's like very
I need a chill
different.
beach.
Yeah, well,
Oh,
the chill beach
you
and
need to
the
go to the Caribbean side.
and on one side they've
Okay.
got like the all the tortoises and the tortoise habitats and stuff, which is really cool,
Well,
which
that's
I
awesome.
didn't
I
get to
love
go to
animals.
that.
I love
Yeah.
wildlife.
So that was pretty cool. And then there's a lot of birds and we saw a bunch of stuff. So it was pretty cool. But wherever you decide to go, I'm sure it'll be marvelous because here's the deal is you've got each other, right? And that's what I always say. You know, my partner and I, you know, everybody said about me, I could have fun in a cardboard box. And I'm with somebody who we could have fun together in a cardboard box because that's when you know you're with the right person, right? When you don't need to be entertained by the world. But the world is entertaining, so go enjoy it too, right?
Absolutely.
You
Yes,
know?
absolutely.
Is
100%.
it Corey or is it a giant dumpster fire?
It is
Which
not
is
a
it?
dumpster fire. It's
We're
there's
living in a dumpster fire and we're just fortunate enough to still be here and do have some beauty in our lives, you know. Not everybody has the same luxury. And that's,
No, I
you
mean
know, we're
that.
very lucky people.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. So we'll be grateful for what we have, but you know, part of survival in whatever your dumpster fire world is just bringing joy to yourself and others. And so it
Yeah.
sounds like you all have a lot of joy in your world and you've made a lot of things happen. And you have a lot of love for each other. And it feels so good to be in this space with you and hearing your story. And I'm so excited our listeners get to hear all about your great love.
Well, thanks for letting us share it.
Well, awesome. Well, for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.